نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. سورة الحجر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را. تلك آيات الكتاب وقرآن مبين. ربما يود الذين كفروا لو كانوا مسلمين. ذرهم يأكلوا ويتمتعوا ويلههم الأمل فسوف يعلمون. وما أهلكنا من قرية إلا ولها كتاب معلوم. ما تسبق من أمة أجلها وما يستأخرون. وقالوا يا أيها الذي نزل عليه الذكر إنك لمجنون. لو ما تأتين بالملائكة إن كنت من الصادقين. ألف لام را. These are verses of the book and a plain Quran. How much would those who disbelieved wish that they had been Muslims? Leave them to eat and enjoy and let them be preoccupied with false hope. They will come to know. And never did we destroy a township, but there was a known decree for it. No nation can advance its term nor delay it. And they say, O you to whom this zikr, this remembrance has been sent down, indeed you are a madman. Why do you not bring angels to us if you are of the truthful? We do not send the angels down except with the truth. And in that case, they would have no respite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah by a reminder of the divine source of this Quran. Tilka ayatul kitab. These are verses of al-kitab, the book of Allah. وقرآن مبين, and a clear Quran about which there is no doubt. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه, the only book of which it can be said, this is a book in which there is no doubt. ربما يود الذين كفروا لو كانوا مسلمين. How much would those who disbelieved wish they had been Muslims? Now first Allah reminds us that this Quran has come from Him. It contains the complete, clear, unvarnished truth. Then Allah tells us something which seems amazing. A day will come when the disbelievers will wish they had been Muslims. It doesn't seem possible, not in this day and age, when Muslims are oppressed, downtrodden, despised. But if Allah is telling us, then it is the truth. We find in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told us, the gist of which was that on the day of judgment, when the people have been cast into hell, now we find that there will be Muslims who will enter hell as well. Who are these Muslims? Those who disobeyed Allah. We find that the fire will burn some for a month. In other words, everyone who has disobeyed Allah, even if he was a Muslim, will be cast into hell. And he will burn there for a specific period of time according to the extent of his sins and crimes. Now fire will burn some for a month. Some will burn as long as the duration of the world. And then a time will come when the pagans who will also be in hellfire will taunt these Muslims and say, so what's the difference between us and you? You believed in Allah and you believed in the Prophet, but you're still burning in hell. And whereupon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be so furious that He will take those Muslims out. They will be brought to a stream near paradise and cleansed from all their sins and then admitted into Jannah. And at that point, all the rest of the people in hell will wish that they had been Muslims. Now we need to understand this hadith. This hadith should not lull us into a state of complacency and say, well, at least one day we'll enter Jannah. Like someone once said, well, so what if I'm disobeying Allah? Allah will punish me a little and then put me in Jannah. We can't even endure a moment of pain. If you've seen anyone who's been burnt, if you've seen anyone who's been scarred, we can't even bear to look at them. That's how frightening they look. Could we then endure one day of burning in hellfire? Forget a month or forget burning as long as the duration of the world. So upon reading this ayat, we should not be deluded into a state of false security and say, well, you know, Allah is saying that the disbelievers will wish they had been Muslims one day. So basically I can do what I like. I will eventually enter Jannah. We need to pray, Allahumma ajirna minan nar. O Allah, save us from the fire. Save us from the humiliation of even being admitted into hellfire, whether it's for a day or for a century. And then we need to remember the importance of Iman, because this Iman is the only thing which will, inshallah, eventually guarantee our entry into paradise. Now it's up to us, the choice is ours, whether we want to enter paradise immediately or we want to suffer the humiliation of being cast into hell first. Thar whom Allah says leave such people to eat and enjoy, and let them be preoccupied with false hopes. Why does Allah say to eat and to enjoy? This is the theory. Eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Now some Muslims' lives revolve around these pursuits. Just eating, just taking care of their children, just, you know, living their worldly life from day to day. And at the end of the day, they have not earned anything for the hereafter. Allah says, فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Such people whose lives are focused on the world, with never a thought for the hereafter, soon they will come to know. And never did we destroy a township, but there was a known decree for it. مَا تَسْبِقُ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلَهَا وَمَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ. No nation can advance its term, nor delay it. We know that our death has been fixed. It's already been written for us, when we were 4 months old in our mother's wombs. Now nobody knows when that time is going to come. We could die in our youth, we could die in our old age. Allah is telling us no nation can advance its term. In other words, make the most of the time that we have. We don't know how much time we have left. And these people say, O you to whom this remembrance has been revealed, indeed you are a madman. These were charges that the Prophet ﷺ commonly had to hear. Charges of being a madman, of being a sorcerer, of being an imposter. And these people say, why don't you bring angels to us if you are of the truthful? Allah says, مَا نُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. We do not send the angels down except with the truth. When do the angels descend? Either with the azab or when someone's death is about to take place. And Allah says, in that case, they would have no respite. These people who demand that they should see the angels, let them know that once the angels come, there will be no more chances for them. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, it is we who have sent down this Qur'an, and surely we will protect it. Now we find that there's a university in Munich, and they conducted a research program. And in the course of that research, they discovered something like 200,000 contradictions in the Bible. And they did their best to come up with contradictions in the Quran, but even they were unable to do so. And this was because Allah has ensured the Quran's protection. This is something that He's taken on upon Himself. Now look at the pronoun Allah uses. See, Thomas Cleary says that the pronoun Allah uses is very interesting. Sometimes Allah says Allah. Sometimes Allah says I, and sometimes Allah says we. Now why does the pronoun change? Allah is saying over here, it is we who have sent down this Quran. This is the royal we being used to remind us of the sanctity of this book, of the power of this book. It's not just an ordinary book that we regard as magic words or as a talisman. It is a book from Allah, Malikul Muluk, the King of all kings. And surely we will protect it. Indeed, we sent messengers before you amongst the communities of old, and never came a messenger to them, but they did mock at him. What keeps us from conveying Allah's message? Oh, people will laugh at us. People will label us fundo or fanatic or maulani. So, fear of people keeps us away from conveying Allah's deen. Allah says, never a messenger came to them, but they mocked at him. If the messengers of Allah, innocent human beings, pure from all sins, honored by Allah, honored by the angels, if they could endure such hardship, if they could endure the mocking of people and continue in their mission, then what right have we to say, well, the only reason that I'm not teaching the Quran is that people will make fun of me. Indeed, we sent messengers to them, and never came a messenger to them, but they did mock at him. كَذَلِكَ نَسْلُكُهُ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Thus do we let it enter the hearts of the criminals. Now this is a very important ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the Qur'an is recited to someone who is a criminal. Now this is very interesting. Allah has not said a disbeliever or a hypocrite, someone who is a criminal. Who is a criminal? Someone who is disobeying Allah. Be he Muslim, Jew, Christian, pagan, Hindu, whatever. Allah says when such people who are disobeying Allah, who are committing crimes against Allah, crimes against humanity, when they hear the Quran, it enters their hearts like a spike. They can't bear it. They find it intolerable. They find it oppressive. You know, like we hear people say, oh, the Quran is so frightening. I'm not ready for the Quran. It's too scary. Thus do we let it enter the hearts of the criminals. And on the other end of the spectrum, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Those who have iman and their hearts find peace in the remembrance of Allah. Now we need to analyze our attitude towards the Quran. When we hear the Quran, when we read the Quran, what is our inner response? That of peace, that of joy, that of acceptance? سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. Or is it more like, oh God, now I know I have to act upon it. No, I'm not going to think about this as yet. I'm not ready for this as yet. The choice is ours. Thus do we let it enter the hearts of the criminals. They would not believe in it. It's a matter of iman. Iman alone gives us the strength to obey Allah, to sacrifice whatever it is that He is asking us to sacrifice. And already the example of the ancient people has gone forth. We read in Surah Hud what happens to people when they disobey Allah, when they go on willfully rejecting Allah's commands. Now the choice is ours. وَلَوْ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَظَلُّوا فِيهِ يَعْرُجُونَ لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا بَلْ نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ مَسْحُورُونَ. And even if we opened to them a gate from the heaven, and they were to keep on ascending thereto, they would surely say, our eyes have been dazzled. Nay, we are a people bewitched. Now this is a really beautiful example. Allah is telling us that these people who do not wish to believe, people who are determined to reject the truth, no matter what sight you show them, no matter what miracle you show them, they are still going to reject it and attribute it to some other reason. Now according to Maurice Bucaille, this verse refers to the conquest of space. And he comes up with a very interesting point. This verse describes the human reactions to the unexpected spectacle that travelers in space will see. Their confused sight, as in drunkenness, the feeling of being bewitched. This is exactly how astronauts have experienced this remarkable adventure since the first human spaceflight around the world in 1961. The human observer in space above the Earth's atmosphere sees a black sky, and the Earth seems to be surrounded by a halo of bluish color. It is a completely new spectacle, therefore, that presents itself to men in space. And this statement simply cannot be ascribed to the thought of a man who lived more than 14 centuries ago. But still, these people do not have iman. You know, there was that embryologist, Keith Moore, who acknowledged that this book has to be the word of God. There's no way that a man living 14 centuries ago could have come up with this knowledge and this insight. But when he was asked whether he was going to accept Islam, what did he say? No, I'm comfortable with my own religion. That's not iman. When we see the truth and still we turn away, that's kufr. وَلَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا وَزَيَّنَّاهَا لِلنَّاظِرِينَ وَحَفِظْنَاهَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Indeed, we have put firm fortresses in the heaven, and we beautified it for the beholders. What are these firm fortresses? These refer to asteroids. And we beautified it for the beholders, linnazirin, for those who behold with their instruments. And we have guarded it from every devil, except him who steals the hearing, then he is pursued by a clear flaming fire. Now this refers to when the Quran was being revealed, and before that, the jinns used to steal up to the skies and listen to the conversations of the angels, and then steal down again and tell their friends, the soothsayers. Which is why if you think about it, when soothsayers come up with any predictions or fortune tellers, they're always half-truths. Some are true and most are lies. And people just focus on the one truth in it and say, oh wow, you know, this man has knowledge of the unseen. So Allah says, except the devil who steals the hearing, then he is pursued by a clear flaming fire and he is thrown out. وَالْأَرْضَ مَدَدْنَاهَا وَأَلْقَيْنَا فِيهَا رَوَاسِي. The earth we have spread out. We have placed there in firm mountains. وَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْزُونَ. And we caused to grow therein all kinds of things in due proportion. وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشَ وَمَنْ لَسْتُمْ لَهُ بِرَازِقِينَ. We have provided therein means of living for you and for those whom you do not provide. Modern man, selfishly obsessed with his own material provision, with his own risk. Do we provide the animals? Do we provide the plants? We find that deep in the sea, thousands and thousands of feet below, where there is pitch darkness, animals carry their own light. Were those animals to be brought to the surface of the water, they would burst. because they used to such tremendous pressure above them. Even below that, at the bottom of the ocean floor, are colonies of blind worms. Now some of these blind worms are up to 8 to 10 feet. Since there's no light or oxygen down below, these worms feed on hydrogen sulfide and they do not have contact with any other life forms. Do we feed these worms? We provide their means of living for you and for those whom you do not provide. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. There is not a thing, but with us are the treasures thereof. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. And we send it not down except in a known measure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that His treasuries are vast and unlimited. As Allah tells us in a hadith Qudsi, Ya ibadi, law anna awwalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum qamu fi sa'idin wahid. O mankind, O my slaves, if the first of you, and the last of you, and the men of you, and the jinn of you were all to stand in one meadow, and ask me, and I were to give each one what he asked for. Now imagine that, the whole of creation asking Allah. And I were to give each one what he asked for, that would not diminish my treasuries, except as much as a needle does when a needle is put into the sea. How much does the needle diminish the sea? Not at all, maybe one drop. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasury. Inna Allah wasi'un alim. Allah is vast, alim, all-knowing. He knows on whom He should bestow His treasures. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرِ مَعْلُومٍ. Now the second part of the ayat is very beautiful. We do not send it down except in a known measure. Why does Allah mention this here? This refers that Allah alone has the wisdom that He knows how much He should bestow upon man. Look at modern man's greed. We see everything in creation as material for exploitation. A tree for timber, a lamp as meat, and a mountain only as the site for a quarry. This is the vision of the modern man. The Prophet ﷺ also referred to man's greed and said, if man had one value of gold, he'd want one more. So Allah reminds us that I know how much to send down upon you. بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. And look at man's abuse of resources, which has brought us to these environmental disasters. The fault is ours, not Allah's. وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ لَوَاقِحٍ. And we send the winds fertilizing. فَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمُوهُ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ لَهُ بِخَازِنِينَ. And we send the winds fertilizing. Then we cause the rain to descend from the sky and we give it to you to drink. And it is not you who are the owners of its stores. A reference to wind pollination, whereby the wind carries the pollen grains from the plant to the stigma so that the plants can reproduce. And sometimes the winds bearing the clouds along, filled with rain. Allah says, it is we who are doing all this. You are not the ones who own its stores. وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ نُحِي وَنُمِيتُ وَنَحْنُ الْوَارِثُونَ. And indeed we, it is we who give life. It is we who cause death. And we are the inheritors. Allah is saying, reflect upon this dynamic universe all around you. Who is the source of life? Who is the source of death? And above all, who is the ultimate inheritor? Are we going to live here forever? Amongst these trees and mountains and rivers? كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. What does Allah tell us? Everyone on this earth has to return. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Only the being of your Lord, the one of majesty, the one of dignity will remain. What then do we have to focus on? فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Compete with one another in good deeds. In the 60, 70 years you've all been allotted, or maybe even less, or maybe more, focus on good deeds. Focus on Allah. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يَأْتِ بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. Remember wherever you are, whatever part of the world you live in, Allah will bring you all together. We are the inheritors. And indeed we know the first generations of you who had passed away. And we also know the present generations of you. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ. And also those who will come afterwards. We come here for a brief period of time and we think this is it. While we are here, the whole world revolves around us. Allah reminds us, we know those who will come afterwards. You're not going to be here forever. There will be people who will come after you. People who won't even remember our name. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ. And indeed your Lord will gather them together. إِنَّهُ حَكِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed he is all wise, all knowing. And indeed we created man from dried clay of altered mud. Look at the sequence of the ayat. Allah reminds us that there were people before us, there will be people after us. And then Allah says, think of your origin. Think of your first ancestor, Adam alayhi salam, and his story. What happened to Adam alayhi salam? Who tempted him? And what happened to Adam alayhi salam when he forgot to obey his Lord? And the jinn we created aforetime from smokeless flame of fire. And remember when your Lord said to the angels, إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا. I am going to create a man from dried clay of altered mud. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. When I have fashioned him completely and breathed into him the soul which I created for him. This is why Adam alayhi salam and his descendants are honored. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have honored the children of Adam alayhi salam because Allah created us as the best of all creation. Allah is telling the angels to prostrate themselves before us. This is how much Allah honored us. This is how precious we were in Allah's eyes. But as Allah tells us in the Quran, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ. When we stoop from that level of أَشْرَفُ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ, when we stoop lower than animals, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no concern for us. So the angels prostrated themselves, all of them together, إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ, except Shaitan. Again and again Allah reminds us that Shaitan was the one who hated you. Shaitan was the one who envied you. Why then do you follow him? He refused to be amongst those who prostrate. قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسُ مَا لَكَ أَلَّا تَكُونَ مَعَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Allah said, O Iblis, what is your reason for not being among the prostrators? Why does Allah ask him this question? So we would be able to hear his answer, not because Allah didn't know the reason. Iblis said, I am not one to prostrate myself to a human being whom you created from dried clay of altered mud. قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. Allah said, then get out from here, for indeed you are an outcast. Now if we think about it, why was Shaitan expelled from paradise? For his refusal to prostrate himself before Adam alayhi salam. What then will happen to people who refuse to prostrate themselves before Allah? It's something worth thinking about, that Shaitan was cursed till the day of judgment. Why? Because he refused to obey Allah's orders to prostrate himself before Adam alayhi salam. What then will be the fate of those who refuse to prostrate themselves before Allah? وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَةَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينَ. That's not it. He wasn't just expelled from paradise. The curse shall be on you till the day of judgment. What curse is this? That he will be removed from Allah's mercy. Shaitan said, O my Lord, give me then respite till the day they will be resurrected. Allah said, فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْزَرِينَ. Then indeed you are of those reprieved. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. Till the day of the time appointed. This knowledge known only to Allah when the day of judgment will come. Now listen to Shaitan's response. Shaitan said, O my Lord, because you misled me, I shall indeed adorn the path of error for them. وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And I shall mislead them all. How do we feel when we read these words? Look at his statement. Firstly, he's putting the blame on Allah. And we find people who say that it's Allah's fault. If he wanted me to be guided, he should have guided me himself. And because I don't feel that spiritual readiness in me to go for Hajj or read the Quran or read Salat, I'm not going to force myself to do anything. Shaitan too says, because you misled me, Allah. Because you gave me this command. Had you not given me this command, I would not have disobeyed you. Because you misled me, I shall indeed adorn the path of error for them, deceive them, and I shall mislead them all. Look at his arrogance. Don't you feel angry when you read his words? He's talking of us like we're puppets, that I will mislead them all. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. But even he had to admit, except your chosen slaves among them. قَالَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Allah said, this is the way which will lead straight to me. The way which we pray for every day in Fatiha. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. Guide us to the straight path. And Allah says, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانُ. إلا من اتبعك من الغاوين. Indeed, you shall have no authority over my slaves except those who follow you and those who go astray. Now we can see from these ayah that on the day of judgment, we can neither blame Allah for our sins, nor can we blame Shaitan for our sins. Because Allah is saying, you shall have no authority over my slaves except those who follow you. As we read yesterday, Shaitan will say when the matter is decided, all I did to you was call you and you responded to my call. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي. Don't blame me. لُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Blame yourselves. Allah is saying here, you will have no authority over my slaves except those who follow you. Now we need to think about our lives. Nobody thinks he's following Shaitan. We like to think of ourselves as pious, devout Muslims. But it's not just a matter of what we say or what we claim, it's a matter of what we do. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Man will have only that which he strived for, not that which he spoke or not that which he preached, his actions. Now if our actions are according to Allah, then we are Abdur Rahman. But if our actions are according to our own desires and according to whatever whim we happen to be following, then we happen to be Abdur Shaitan. See, Allah is saying, this is the way which will lead straight to me. What path is this? The path of the Sunnah, the path of this Quran, the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can understand it by simple example. You're going to Lahore and you sit in the bus for Peshawar. Are we going to reach Lahore? No. And after 4 hours we say, why am I still not in Lahore? The fault is ours for not ascertaining which direction we are headed towards. We all need to stop and analyze our lives. What is it that I spend my mornings doing? Who is it that I spend my mornings obeying? Allah or Shaitan? Who is it that I spend my afternoons or my evenings obeying? Because sometimes people waste their entire lives because they're just not analyzing their actions. They're just living moment to moment. Allah says, this is the way which will lead straight to me. We need to be sure we're on that path. Because Allah says, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Hell is the promised place for them all. Which people are these? For the people who are following Shaitan and those who go astray. Now there's no talk here of Muslims or non-Muslims. For people who are born saying La ilaha illallah and who don't act upon it. No, everyone who obeys Shaitan. Then hell is the promised place for them all. لَهَا سَبَعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ. It has 7 gates. Why are 7 gates mentioned here? To give us an inkling of how vast hell is. لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِّنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقَصُومٌ. For each of the gates is a special class of sinners assigned. In other words, each gate will represent a different category of sinners. Those who misled people, those who were arrogant, those who were hypocrites. As Allah tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The hypocrites will be in the lowest level of the fire. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتِ وَعْيُونَ. Look at Allah's love for us. After describing hell, instantly He reassures us that that's not the only option available. For those who follow Allah's path, there is an option of Jannah. Indeed, the Allah conscious will be in gardens and springs. اُدْخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ آمِنِينَ. It will be said to them, enter therein in peace and tranquility. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. And we shall remove from their hearts any feeling of bitterness. They will be like brothers facing each other on thrones. لَا يَمَسُّهُمْ فِيهَا نَصَبٌ وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرَجِينَ. No sense of fatigue shall touch them, and nor shall they ever be asked to leave it. In this description of Jannah, we find 2 things. We find external peace, beautiful surroundings, and internal peace. Because sometimes we can be living in mansions, but if we are upset, or we are depressed, or we are having problems with someone else, then our hearts are constrained and suffocated. And that grandeur that we are living amidst does not help us. So Allah says it won't just be external peace, it will be internal peace as well. No fatigue shall touch them. Allah says we shall remove from their hearts any feeling of bitterness. Sometimes we find 2 very good people, both obeying Allah, both fearing Allah, and yet they have deep resentment towards each other. So Allah says, that before they are made to enter Jannah, their feelings of rancor and bitterness will be cleansed from their hearts, so that there is no resentment, no inner hatred that they are bearing each other in Jannah. And Allah says they will be like brothers facing each other on thrones. No sense of fatigue shall even touch them. Not only will they not be feeling exhausted, fatigue will not even touch them. No negative feeling, no negative emotion, nothing but joy and peace. Nor shall they ever be asked to leave it. Eternally healthy, eternally young, eternal dwellers of that Jannah.
We find in a beautiful story from the Sunnah that once an old woman asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will the old people enter Jannah?
And because he had a great sense of humor, he said, no.
And the woman started crying loudly.
Hazrat Aisha reproached him and said, look, you made this woman cry.
And then he said, they will be made young first. Allah says, nor shall they ever be asked to leave it. That will be the greatest joy of all. In this world, any blessing that we receive, if you think back to any time of happiness that you've been through, and what is our greatest fear? I wonder how long these good times will last. You know, that insecurity is always there. How long is it going to be here? But in Jannah, there will be no such fears. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ No fears. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ Nor will they grieve. نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Tell my slaves. Not tell the Muslims. Not tell those who were born Muslims. Tell my slaves. Those who obey me above all. Those who love me above all. Those who fear me above all. أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ That I am the forgiving, the most merciful. Now we do say that, don't we? Oh, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah is not going to ask me about something like that. I know how much Allah loves me. No, Allah is saying, tell my slaves. We need to become His slaves first, and then He will be Ghafoor Rahim for us. وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ Don't just rely upon that rahmah. Tell them that my torment is indeed the most painful torment. It was a scholar who once said that the believer sees his sins as a mountain that he is afraid might descend upon him. Whereas the fajr, the wicked person, the sinner, sees them like flies which he's just brushing away. Now let's think about our own lives. We have a tendency to trivialize sins. Oh, just a little white lie that I told. Or just one prayer that I missed. Or just one prayer that I read qaza. Or just one day that I didn't remember Allah at all. Or just one day that I said that word of gossip which I shouldn't have said. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu qabla al-maut. The truly intelligent person is one who analyzes himself, who does hisab of himself before he dies. And the fool is one who follows his desires and trusts in Allah's mercy and trusts in that Allah will forgive him. This is the gist of the hadith. Allah says, tell my slaves that I am the forgiving, the most merciful, but also tell them that my torment is indeed the most painful torment. وَنَبِّئْهُمْ عَنْ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ Allah tells us a story which illustrates both His mercy and His wrath. Tell them about the guests of Ibrahim when they entered to him and said, Salama, peace. Ibrahim said, indeed we are afraid of you because he didn't recognize them. The angels said, do not be afraid. We give you good tidings of a boy possessing much knowledge and wisdom. Ibrahim said, do you give me good tidings of a son when old age has overtaken me? Of what then is your news? قَالُوا بَشَّرْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ فَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْقَانِطِينَ The angels said, we give you good news in truth, so do not be of those who despair. Obviously, Ibrahim a.s. is astounded. He's an old man. His wife is barren. He says, what news are you giving me? So when they reassure him, he says, وَمَنْ يَقْنَتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ Who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except those who are astray? Look at his love for Allah. According to biblical accounts, he was 100 years old. We pray for 1 month and if our prayer isn't answered, we say, oh, I'm angry with Allah. Allah is not hearing my prayers. What does he say? Who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except those who are astray? Ibrahim then said, what then is the business on which you have come, O messengers? The angel said, we have been sent to a people who are criminals. All except the family of Lut, all of them we will surely save. Except his wife, of whom we have decreed that she shall be of those who remain behind. Why was Lut alayhi salam's wife punished with the people who had sinned? Because she condoned their crime. She was not participating in their sin, but she condoned their crime. And nowadays also we find people even have defined an attitude whereby when you're discriminating against homosexuality and they call it homophobia. That's how messed up their thinking is. This woman was punished because she condoned their crime and she said, so what's the big deal? Let them do what they want to do. Live and let live. And for that she was punished as well. Then when the messengers came to the family of Lut, he said, indeed you are people unknown to me. They said, no, we have come to you with that torment which they have been doubting. And we have brought you the truth, and certainly we tell the truth. Then travel in a part of the night with your family, and you go behind them in the rear, and let no one amongst you look back, but go on to where you are ordered. And we made known this decree to him, that the root of those sinners was going to be cut off in the early morning. And the inhabitants of the city came rejoicing. Why did they rejoice? It said that Lut alayhi salam's wife told them that these beautiful young men have come, because the angels had come in the shape of young men. Lut alayhi salam said, indeed these are my guests, so do not shame me, and fear Allah, and do not humiliate me. The people of the city said, did we not forbid you from entertaining any of the world? In other words, they said, why have you undertaken our responsibility? Just leave us alone. Lut alayhi salam said, these are my daughters, if you must act so. In other words, he was trying to exhort them to adopt a halal course rather than adopt this haram action which they had, you know, taken upon themselves. La'amruka, indeed by your life, in their wild intoxication, they were wandering blindly. Look at the contempt in Allah's words. Allah says that these people were so steeped in their sin, so steeped in that debauchery that it was as if they were drunk. They didn't know what they were doing. That's how obsessed they were with satisfying their own lust. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُشْرِقِينَ So the awful cry overtook them at the time of sunrise. And we turned the towns upside down and we rained down on them stones of baked clay. As I mentioned earlier, every possible azab overtook these people. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُتَوَسِّمِينَ Indeed, in this are signs for people of perception. That whether we are participating in a sin or we are condoning it, then in Allah's eyes we are the same. And indeed these cities were right on the high road. Surely there is indeed a sign for the believers. And the dwellers in the wood were also wrongdoers, so we took vengeance on them. They are both on an open highway, plain to see. And indeed the dwellers of the rocky track denied the messengers, and we gave them our signs, but they were averse to them. And they used to hew out dwellings from the mountains, feeling themselves secure. But the awful cry overtook them in the early morning, and all that they used to earn did not avail them. Allah mentions their dwellings in the mountains, and the 8th century traveler Ibn Battuta also commented on their superb dwellings. See, that's not the criterion. Their achievements, their advancements were not the criterion. What was the criterion? Their iman and obeying of Allah. And when they rejected the signs of Allah, then all that technology and all that advancement did not help them at all. All they used to earn did not help them. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ And we did not create the heavens and the earth and all that is between them except with truth. In other words, there's a purpose to this life. We're not just here to have a good time and then die and that's it, end of story. We are here to earn something for ourselves, to send something ahead of us. As the hadith says, when man dies, people ask, what has he left behind? How many homes? How many cars? And the angels ask, what has he sent ahead? We need to focus on what we are sending ahead. We did not create the heavens and the earth and all that is between them except with truth. وَإِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَآتِيَةً And the hour is surely coming. This day of judgment will come. And we need to remember that our day of judgment starts the day we die. So overlook their faults with gracious forgiveness. Inna rabbaka huwal khallaqul alim. Indeed, your Lord is the all-knowing creator. Walaqad atainaka sab'an minal mathani wal Qur'an al-azim. Indeed, we have bestowed upon you 7 repeatedly recited verses and this awesome Qur'an. Look not with your eyes ambitiously at what we have bestowed on certain classes of them, nor grieve over them. وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ And lower your wings for the believers. Now what are these 7 repeatedly verses?
We learn from a hadith that this is Surah Fatiha. Now I'd like to read out a hadith Qudsi about Surah Fatiha, because we read this surah every day in our salat without thinking about what its true meaning is, about the implications of Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have divided prayer between me and my slave, and for my slave is what he asks. For when my slave says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, I say, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. When my slave says, Ar-Rahmani Rahim, I say, Asna Alayhi Abdi, my slave has glorified me. When my slave says, Maliki Yawmiddin, I say, my slave has exalted me, Majjadani Abdi. And when my slave says, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, I say, this is between me and my slave, and my slave shall have what he asks for. And when my slave says, Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim, Siratul Ladina An'amta Alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, I say, this is for my slave, and my slave shall have what he asks for. In other words, when we read Fatiha, we're having a conversation with Allah. Now, because of that, some scholars even say that after reading each verse of Fatiha, we should pause. We should wait for Allah's response. If you're talking to someone, you won't just go on talking, you'll wait for their answer. So every time we read Fatiha, we need to be acutely conscious that the greater the fervor with which we read these ayat, inshallah, Allah will respond and tell us that this is for my slave and my slave shall have what he asked for. Allah says the 7 repeatedly recited verses, وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ, this awesome Quran, of whom Allah says, هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ, it is better than all that they collect. And what have we made this Quran today? Something neglected. Something we ignore till the month of Ramzan comes, and then people say, oh, I've read 10 Qurans this Ramzan. This Quran is not just magic words. It's a book of guidance. It's a code book on our life. It's a source of strength. Huwa hablullahil mateen. It's Allah's rope with which we can connect ourselves to Him. But we need to seek Him first. Allah says, look not with your eyes ambitiously at what we have bestowed on certain classes of them. Now what's the link between the two verses? Allah is reminding us Muslims that when we have been given a treasure like this Quran, then we should not envy people their worldly grandeur. Like people generally say, well, why are the Muslims living in poor countries? And why are the non-Muslims prospering so much? Allah says, do not look with your eyes ambitiously at what we have bestowed on certain classes of them, nor grieve over them. This should be the vision of the mu'mineen, that we should be rejoicing so much in this Quran that we realize that this world is something contemptible in Allah's eyes. What is the vision of the mu'min as regards his attitude towards wealth? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us once, unzur fi dunya ila man huwa dunak. In the world, you should look at someone who is lower than you. We look at people who have been given more than us, and we moan and we lament and say, why have they been given so much? Why couldn't I have been given such wealth, such grandeur? The Prophet said, when it comes to the dunya, look at one who is beneath you, who is suffering, who is underneath you, who is less than you. And he told us, وَأُنْزُرْ فِي الدِّينِ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكَ. And when it comes to deen, look at one who is above you. And we do the exact opposite. When it comes to deen, we look at people who are sinning day and night and we say, well, at least I'm not as bad as she is. And when it comes to dunya, we look at people who have been given much more than us and we say, why doesn't Allah love me? Allah says, do not look with your eyes ambitiously at what we have bestowed on certain classes of them. We find from a hadith the gist of which is that when Allah gives someone the Quran and then he covets some worldly treasure or is impressed by some other worldly knowledge, then he has despised the Quran. And lower your wings for the believers. Don't just be flattering or sucking up to the non-Muslims, lower your wings for the believers. How does Allah describe the perfect Muslim ummah? Azillatin ala al-mu'mineen, a'izzatin ala al-kafireen. Harsh towards the disbelievers, humble towards the believers. لا يخافون لوم تلائم, not fearing the blame of anyone who blames. What is Islam? No compromise and no apologies. That's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Not the apologetic attitude most of us have towards Islam. وَقُلْ إِنِّي أَنَا النَّذِيرُ الْمُبِينُ. Tell them, I am indeed a plain warner. And we have sent down on those who divide. الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عِذِينَ Those who have made the Qur'an into parts. Now who are these people? This refers to the Jewish sects. When the Jews split up into different sects, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, the Jews became 71 sects, the Christians became 72 sects, and the Muslims will become 73 sects, all of them in the fire except those who follow the path on which I and my companions are today. But this ayat needs to be understood, who have made the Qur'an into parts, who have divided it up. Now let's think of our Qur'an khanis, where we find people sitting together and saying, you read one page and I'll read another page. What sort of a mockery is this? If we're reading a book, if we have to study a book for a course, would I tell my sister, you come up and read one page and I'll read the other page? No, I need to study the whole thing myself. Then we find people who read pansuras daily and that's all they read. Pansuras containing special selection of surahs and that's it. They've never even read the whole Quran. Then we find people who read the Quran only in Ramzan, who think, oh, that's it, the Quran is for Ramzan. And if I've read it in Ramzan, oh, I've done my duty. And I've read 10 Qurans this Ramzan. الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عِذِينَ Those who have made the Qur'an into parts. And what is the most frightening implication of this ayat? When people obey part of the Qur'an and disobey part of the Qur'an. Allah asks us, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ Do you believe in part of the Qur'an? That, oh, I can follow this part. I can read my prayers. But I'm not going to read Surah Nur because Surah Nur talks about hijab. الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عِذِينَ The Qur'an is one whole. We can't just take portions for our own convenience. That is the attitude of hypocrisy. As Allah tells us, كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْفِي What does the hypocrite do? When it's light for him, he walks. When it's easy, when everyone's praying, he'll get up and pray. وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا But when it's dark, they halt. We need to be careful that our attitude towards the Qur'an is that of reverence, is that of internalizing this book as a whole, not just parts of it. فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ Why should we bother? Why should we read the whole Qur'an? Allah tells us. So by your Lord we shall certainly ask all of them for all that they used to do. It's not that, oh I can do what I like because Allah loves me. Allah is saying we shall ask all of them. No one's been excluded from this ayat for all that they used to do. At the end of the day, it's our actions that count. Therefore, proclaim openly that which you are commanded. Again and again, Allah inculcates fearlessness into us. Don't apologize. Don't compromise. Proclaim openly that which you are commanded and turn away from those who do shirk. And the Prophet ﷺ once said, the worst false god that is followed on earth is man's own nafs. إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ Truly, we will suffice you against those who scoff. Do people laugh at you? Do people brand you a fanatic? Allah is saying, we will suffice you against those who scoff. We should be proud that Allah is offering His protection to those of us who seek it. Who are the scoffers? Those who set up with Allah another God. But they will come to know. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ Indeed, we know that your breast is straightened at what they say. Allah is saying here, that I know it hurts you when people make fun of you. I know it hurts you when people say, oh, don't start off on that boring talk again. But, فَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ Don't listen to them. Glorify the praises of your Lord. وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ And be of those who prostrate themselves. Now, there are different aspects of sajda. One is the sajda we do in salat. Above all, we need to remember sajda symbolizes surrender of this intellect before Allah. When I say, Sami'na wa atana, we hear and we obey. Glorify the praises of your Lord and be of those who prostrate themselves. Wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen and worship your Lord. Your Lord, He is Arab, He has created us. He is nurturing us. He is nourishing us. Why should we care for what people say when it is Allah who has given us everything we have? When it is Allah who will give us everything we can ever hope to have? Worship your Lord. What does worship mean? Obedience. Until there comes to you the certainty of the day of judgment.